But Rabbi Akiva had to focus on that aspect of V'Ahavta L'Rehecha Kamocha. Because some people think they're very smart. And when they're very smart, they don't pay attention to the guy next to them. I'm smarter than you, and I look down upon you, and who are you to talk about this, and who are you, and who are you? I'm the smartest. And that's the opposite of what Torah is trying to teach us. Torah is trying to teach us humility. Some people say, I don't know, this is not in the Gemara. The Gemara says, that's the Gemara's reason. The Gemara says they didn't give enough honor to each other. But there's other opinions that say, no, they were in the war with Bar Kokhba. He supported Bar Kokhba. So his students went and fought against the Romans, and that's what happened. The Romans killed him. Anyway, so that's the whole big discussion over there. The Gemara says they died of sickness. They all died in sickness. But there's other opinions. He was a big supporter of Bar Kokhba, so maybe maybe. Okay. So anyway, what does he do? He gets five new students. So the five, number one, Rav Meir Balanes. Very easy to remember, Rav Meir Balanes. Everyone knows Rav Meir Balanes. You have these pushkas. You want a miracle, you put in the pushka, Rav Meir Balanes. And it's a beautiful institution. I've tried them, very good. They pray at his kever, you just call them. It's called the Institutions of Tiberias. They're very, very good, very honest. And they pray for you straight at the grave over there. And it's, you don't have to pray. You don't have to pay a penny. Mm-hmm. If you want to give a donation, you give a donation. But they have a hotline, and they'll pray for you at the kever. It's amazing, amazing. Very nice, very, very nice. So Rav Meir Balanes married, quickly. What? There's a school in Elizabeth. Bruria.
He married Bruria.
His wife's name was Bruria. Bruria was the daughter of Rabbi Ishmael, Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. Oh boy. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. Her father was killed with a sevator wrapped around her. Imagine. Right around her. That was his wife, Bruria. Rabbi Meir Balanes and his wife Bruria. So Bruria was the one, she knew more than most rabbis.
Right.
She was she was very, very learned. And she was his wife, Rabbi Balanes' wife. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, is buried in
Meron.
He's buried in Meron. You go to Meron on top of Mount Meron. You go to the top of the mountain, Mount Meron. And you go, there's a beautiful building over there. And he's buried there with his son, Rabbi Elazar. So you had two kvarim over there, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I was there in the summertime and there was a Brit Milah. Amazing, beautiful, it was beautiful. Gorgeous. And so it's fantastic. A minyanim around the clock. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, so we have Rabbi Meir Balanes, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Come on, keep going. Let's go. Help me. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. What a great Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was much later. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai was elevated by the Romans. He was the first speaker. The Romans appointed him to be the first speaker in any place. If there was a group of Jews there, he had to speak first. He was honored being the first speaker. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. He's one of the rabbis most mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. I've been to his kever. He's buried also over there. One of those. If you go from Meron to Sfat, you'll see on the side of the road many big rabbis. Many big rabbis from the Talmudic period. Because they ran away from the Romans. The Romans destroyed this. They destroyed the south. They destroyed Yerushalayim and around their area. And then all the Jews moved to the north.
Why are they all associated with Lag BaOmer?
Well, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is associated with Lag BaOmer. Not because it's a very big question. He died on Lag BaOmer. He died on Lag BaOmer. And he said, when he died, he said, "Don't cry for me," he says.
Celebrate.
Why? Because all the gates of knowledge are open to me now. The day of his death, he said he made a big set. He says there was fire around the house. No one could come in. Only his five students came in.
Bar Kokhba was also associated with Lag BaOmer for some reason.
I don't know. That's a new Chiddush. That's a Chiddush. Okay. That's a Chiddush. But according to tradition, it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's date of his death. And he is the one who said, don't fast, don't mourn, celebrate. So it became what's known as Hilula. Became a Hilula, which is celebration. So anyway, so what do we have so far? We have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir Balanes, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. Whenever it says Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, he was very famous. He had big yichus, and he's the fifth of the great students of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Meir Balanes says, he gives good advice. Heveh memaed ba'esek. Lower your business deals. Va'asok b'Torah, and learn more Torah. I was just discussing someone earlier, a very big tzaddik. He lives in Muncie. He has many children, and every time he has a child married off, he has one relative in town, he does his Shev Brachot here over here. And it's my pleasure to speak at his Shev Brachot, beautiful. And he's very generous. He's a diamond dealer. But he's also like an avrich. He learns. In the spare time he has, he learns as much as he can. And that's what we're talking about. Rami Balamir says, reduce your business and learn more Torah. Ve'veh shefal ruach mifnei kol adam. And be humble in front of everyone. So he says, these things go together. What goes together? Torah and humility go together. A person not humble, it's a sign they're not learning Torah properly. So it's very important to learn Torah. You see how the rabbis are always pushing this idea of learning Torah, learning Torah, learning Torah. Because at that time, the Roman persecution, Torah was going to be forgotten. It's a miracle. You know, we don't really realize how big a miracle it is that we're here today. It's a tremendous miracle. It's a miracle of Jewish survival. There should be no Jews today. There shouldn't be a single Jew around in the world. There should be no Torah today. It's a miracle we're here. So how do we hear? Because Rabbi Akiva taught 5 students. And these 5 students are pushing, telling people, learn Torah, learn Torah, learn Torah. Okay, now we come to a very famous Mishnah, and we have to pay attention to this and envision this. The person has to visualize. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Haoseh mitzvah achad, a person who does one mitzvah. This is amazing. This is a person who does one single mitzvah, he acquires for himself praklit achad. He acquires for himself a defender in the world above. Imagine. Defending angel. He acquires for himself a defending angel in the world above. Imagine, we don't even understand this. What does that mean? You do a mitzvah, the mitzvah protects you. If there's going to be an accident, the mitzvah is there saying, look after this guy, he did a mitzvah. If there's a judgment against the person in the world above, the mitzvah the person did defends them in the world above. Amazing, amazing. But we've got to visualize this. Whenever you do a mitzvah, you're creating a guardian angel for yourself. You're creating yourself a guardian angel. And vice versa. What's the opposite? A person does an avera, hover avera achat, kone lo kategor achat. Acquires an accusing angel. We find this in the story of the egel, right? The golden calf. What happens? They build a golden calf, and everything they did, Moshe Rabbeinu turns it around and does good with it. They gathered on Aaron to build a calf. Moshe Rabbeinu in last week's parasha starts with gathering the Jews together. Ve'yakel Moshe. He gathers all the Jews together for a good purpose. They want to build a golden calf. Why? Because they want to envision something that represents God in the world. He said, let's build a Mishkan, which envisions God's dwelling in the world. You want to give gold and silver and diamonds? Come here, I'll give you the opportunity to give gold and silver and diamonds. Anything they did for bad, the tikkun was to do the opposite for good. So they made a big kitrug in the world above. They built themselves a very big angel of destruction in the world above. Now he's building a defending angel in the world above. So it's very important. A person's got to visualize it. When I do an avera, it's creating destruction for me. It's going to destroy my soul. A person doing a mitzvah, creating a defending mechanism in the world above. Tremendous stuff. You know, one day we're going to go there, we're going to see all these angels. Like, whoa, who are these angels? Well, every time you say a bracha, you make an angel. You know that? Every time a person says a bracha, you say amen. Every time you say amen, you create 2 angels. Because an amen is more important than a bracha. Why? Why is an amen more important than a bracha? Because you don't have to say it.
Right.
A bracha, I can't drink before I say a bracha. But the guy saying amen is saying it for no reason. Altruistic reasons. He doesn't have to drink. They're responding to the fact, I believe in Hashem. I believe Hashem created this. It's a tremendous thing. Amen is very, very powerful. We know the word tzaddik. What does it stand for? Tzaddik, quickly. Tzaddik stands for 90 amens a day. Person's going to say 90 amens a day. How do you say 90 amens a day? Well, if you don't count a minyan, you'll never hear 90 amens a day. Number 2 is Dalit. Dalit stands for 4 kedushas. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. 4 times a day. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Yud stands for 10 kadishes. You got to hear. 10 kadishes a day.
Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh.
Huh? No, 3 times, 4 times a day.
Uh-oh.
Once before the, everyone can say this. Once before the Shema, right? In the tefillah before the Shema, your blessings on the Shema. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. In the Shemoneh Esrei, in the repetition, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And Ubalat Zion, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And the Mincha repetition, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. 4 times a day, it's Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yud is hearing 10 Kadishes a day. And Kuf is saying 100 blessings a day. Kuf is 100. So Tzaddik.
Is this for men?
Yes.
What about ladies?
So through their husbands and through their children, they get the Zchor. Don't worry about it. Okay, try your best. I'm just saying the importance. Every amen you say is amazing. Amazing. Every bracha you say. That's why it's important to say a bracha properly. You say a bracha properly, the angels, he's healthy. You say a bracha like this, the angel's missing an arm, missing a leg. Some angels are life support.
Now I have to worry about angels.
Your grandchildren are physical angels. Now what about the spiritual angels? Yes, but don't worry, be happy. You're going to make angels. You're creating angels. Okay? So now, what is the best thing you can do? Teshuva. The person does teshuva, you're doing a tremendous mitzvah. The word mitzvah of teshuva is a tremendous mitzvah. You can return all the way to God. So teshuva is so easy to do. Why? It's in the mind. The person said, Hashem, please forgive me for my sins. I'll be better, I'll try and be better. That's it. That's teshuva. The person does it in the head. Don't have to go anywhere. Teshuva, umasim tovim, good deeds. Ketris, what's a tris? You know, tris is when you go to Israel. Tris is the blinds. You know, pull down the tris. Ever seen those trisim in Israel? You got to pull the string over there. It's not a string. It's like a band, and then the plastic thing rolls and then comes down. It's got to be a better system. So it's like a tris. A tris was a shield. The shield, the guys go to war with the shield. The shield is the trees. And teshuva and good deeds is a shield before punishment. Because it wants to stop any kind of punishment reaching them. Do teshuva and good deeds, and it stops punishment. So beautiful ideas over here. Number one is to visualize the power of a mitzvah. The spiritual power of a mitzvah is tremendous. It can create a spiritual defender in the world above. And to visualize the power of an avera can cause a spiritual accuser in the world above. Terrible. However, even if there's accusations against us, what can protect us? Teshuva and ma'asim tovim. By doing teshuva and good deeds. What are good deeds? Good deeds are chesed. Plus, that's an act of kindness. The easiest act of kindness is to smile at someone. So you wake up in the morning, you smile at your husband. Right, Rachel? You smile at your husband. You smile at your kids. You're in a good mood. That's chesed. People do chesed. You can do chesed without even talking. You say, wish someone have a great day. Chesed. Well, it's chesed. Chesed is very easy to do. There's different kinds of chesed. Chesed is very easy to do. Chesed is one of the greatest things we can do. And you don't even need to do much to do chesed. Chesed is sometimes very easy to do. And it serves as a barrier of punishment. Chesed. Rabbi Yochanan Sandar, famous rabbi. We have to realize in those days all the rabbis worked. And they worked very, very hard for a living. It was a time of poverty, the Romans. They grabbed all the money in the world. They took everything. They've taxed people terribly. That's why tremendous revolts against the Romans. And Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar, he was a sandlar. You know what sandlar is?
Shoemaker.
He says, any meeting which is to do with the glory of heaven will last. The effects of that meeting will last. Anything person does l'shem shemayim will last. Things a person does not, Hashem Shemayim will not last. That's what he's saying. Things which are done for the sake of heaven, the value of it will last. You see, sometimes some synagogues are successful, some synagogues not so successful. So it depends who built it and what they built it for. If they built it for the right reasons, it's so important. The first thing you do, that's why when a person buys a house, what's the first thing you do? Chanukah to buy. Dedicate the house. Because everything goes by the beginning. Same thing with a child. It's the thoughts at conception. People don't realize that. They say, how come I had a kid like this? Well, what are you thinking about when he was conceived? People don't realize that. The conception is the whole, and it's not just conception. Before the conception, we do kiddushin. Marriage is called kiddushin. What's kiddushin? Sanctification. First, got to have the right intention. I'm starting this for the sake of building a Jewish family. There's nothing holier than building a Jewish family. So if you do it l'shem shemayim, you see, marriages will last if they do it l'shem shemayim. If they do it for money, if they do it for looks, if they do it for this. Kol Ava, we're going to come to a beautiful Mishnah. Kol Ava Shitluya Badavar, Batla Davar, Batla Ava. Any love which is dependent on other things, when that thing disappears, the love disappears as well. So a guy says, I'm marrying her, she's gorgeous. I'm marrying her. But you know what? When she's 75 years old, may not be so gorgeous anymore. Hopefully she is. Well, today it's possible. With the plastic surgery and all these things. You never know. But I'm saying, in those days, it's so obvious. So marrying her beautiful, what happens to the beauty when it goes away? I don't love her anymore. I'm marrying her for her money. Oh, when the money goes away, I don't want anymore. So that's the thing. That's lo l'shem shemayim. It's not for the sake of heaven. But if it marries for the sake of heaven, it's gonna work. It's gonna be a life of honeymoon. It's gonna be one long honeymoon. But it's relative. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandla, it's very important to do things l'shem shemayim, to do things for the right reasons. If you do things for the right reasons, then it will last. Those things will last. You see in people's lives. Certain people are successful, some people are not successful. People do it l'shem shemayim. You bring children to the world for the sake of heaven. Those children will be the best children. Baruch Hashem. Thank God for children. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. This is one of the five students of, we said, Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. He says, "Yehi chavod talmidcha chaviv alech kishachach." Your student's honor should be as dear to you as your own honor. It's very hard. It's very hard. Why? Because I'm the rabbi. He's the student. Who cares about the student? Let the student, serve me and listen to me and acknowledge me. No. What about his honor as well? Very important. Look at this. Worry about the honor of your students. It's very hard today in class to keep control. When you keep control, it's also going to be done in an honorable way. Don't disgrace the kid. It's very hard. Today, the whole idea of discipline is disgracing the guy. Put him in the corner, scream at him, embarrass him, humiliate him. And it's very hard to do that. Because you have to give him honor as well. You don't break the kid. You gotta raise him, not break him. It's very hard. It's very, very hard today in schools. Very, very hard situation. Make him, don't break him. It's a good book. It's a good book. Someone wrote a book. Make him and make and don't
make
break.
Make me, don't break me.
Make me, don't break me. Who wrote it? Okay, let me know. Who? I don't know. Make me, don't break me. It's a beautiful book. But that's what the Mishnah is saying. Give honor to your students. Make them, don't break them. Build them up. Build them back. Build them up. Don't destroy them. Kvod chavercha and the honor due to your friend. Kimora rebecha. Put him like your rabbi. Give him the honor of the rabbi. Mora rebecha kimora shemayim. The honor of the rabbi should be like the honor of God. So in other words, he's telling us how to deal with people. Always give people honor. Doesn't matter how much they know. Doesn't matter what social strata they're on. So it's very similar. We had this mission before. It says, give people honor. We said, why? En adam she'en lo sha'a. You remember that? Everyone has their time when you might need them. So even though right now you don't think you need them and you treat them disgustingly, don't treat them disgustingly. Maybe you'll need it one day. Maybe one day it'll be on top of you. So same thing applies to our students. Give them honor. Your friends, give them honor. Give your rabbis honor. Okay, now we come to a beautiful question. Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Shlosha ketarim hem. There are three crowns. Beautiful, beautiful. There are three crowns. We can imagine. We don't see the crowns. Where are these crowns? Just imagine a crown. Three crowns. There's a crown of Torah. There's a crown of Kehuna, priesthood. But Keter Malchut, the crown of kingship. So the crown of Torah. Who is the crown of Torah? Anyone who wants to learn Torah can eventually become chief rabbi. Anyone who wants to learn Torah can eventually become very knowledgeable. And it's like they're wearing a crown. Why? Because it's tremendous honor. They get tremendous honor. People give them tremendous honor. You see people lining up on the streets to go into these people's houses and get a blessing. It's amazing. Think about it. What are you going? Who are you going to? I'm going to these poor paupers. They're paupers living in a pauper style. With the kitchen is disgusting. The bathroom is even more disgusting. And everything's just got old and finished and worn out and clean. But people are lining up to get a bracha. Why? Kavod Torah. The honor of the Torah. Because these people learn Torah. That's the crown of Torah. Keter Kehuna, the crown of priesthood. That's Aaron, a Kohen, and his children. They got the crown of priesthood. He's a Kohen. Today doesn't really mean much because a Kohen today doesn't do anything for us. Right? If you come to our shul, you get a Kohen to come and give us a bracha. At least he gives a bracha every day. Probably we can't get a Kohen to get a bracha. It's hard to get a Kohen. They're busy doing other things. But Keter Malchut.
Every day?
Yeah, every day. It's Friday, yeah. We have bracha every day. Oh. In Israel, everyone has every day.
Does it every day.
Even Ashkenazim do every day. You know that? In Israel?
Yeah.
Every day. The Rama says we don't give brachot outside Israel because you've got to be happy to give a bracha. And when you're in exile and unpersecuted, Kohanim are not happy. You got to be happy to give a bracha. How do you know you've got to be happy to give a bracha? Yitzhak Avinu. He wanted to give a bracha to his son. What does he say? He says, bring me food. Give me good food. This way I'll feel good, and I'll give you a bracha. A person's going to be on the best, happiest note when they give a bracha. That's why we give a bracha on Friday night. There's good food on the table. Beautiful. And you're happy. That's when you give a bracha. You don't give a bracha when you're not happy. It's got to come through good vibes. The bracha's got to come from good vibes. When a person's feeling good, you give a bracha to other people. When your cup is flowing over, right? You got extra brachot in your cup. That's when you give. So the Rama says we don't give in Chutz Laaretz. We don't give outside Israel because our cups, we don't feel good. But the Sfaradim means we feel good all the time. We feel good in Israel, we go outside Israel, we feel good, and we give brachot. The Kohen are meant to give a bracha every day, every single day. If we can get a Kohen, that's the trouble. The Kohen are busy doing other things. Don't know what they're doing. They're making money. Okay. We need a bracha. Can you imagine? A Kohen gives a bracha over here, he's giving a bracha not just to one sinner, he's giving a bracha to everyone in the Middlesex County. Imagine what merit that Kohen gets. I wish the Kohen would wake up. These Kohenim have to wake up. They don't really rise. They think they're making money, but they could be making tremendous mitzvot over here. Tremendous, giving a bracha to everyone. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Gemara asked the question, what happens if you have a synagogue full of Kohanim? What do you do? How do you do Birkat Kohanim? Everyone in the shul is a Kohen. Who are they blessing?
Each other.
Not blessing each other. It says they're blessing their people in the fields. So the bracha is not just limited to the shul. It's limited. It goes, expands. It just goes outside. It's all over.
Washes their feet if they have...
They themselves. In the Beit HaMikdash, they wash their own hands. It's complicated. Okay. So there are three crowns. The crown of Torah, the crown of Kuna, which is priesthood, and the crown of kingship. And there's a fourth crown.
So this, what does it mean?
One second. And there's a fourth crown. What's the fourth crown? Keter Shem Tov. The crown of a good name. Oh boy. Let's talk about it again. Now let's have a question. What's your question? The crown of a good name. So we have three crowns. What do you mean a crown? So priesthood is like a crown. What do you mean? Aharon HaKohen was given the priesthood. It's like a great honor. When we say crown, a crown means tremendous honor. It's like someone put a crown on your head. The king really had a crown. He had a crown. Amazing. Fitted. It says the king of David had a special cleft in the heads.
Right.
You know that one? Midrash?
No, that's it. It's amazing. All set up for him.
Because the crown had to fit you, and if you weren't from that tribe, it wouldn't fit you. It was, I don't know how they did this. I don't know. Had a special crown made to measure. And it fit, it was like a magic. It fit this guy, and then it fit his son, and it fit his son. It wouldn't fit anyone else. The crown wouldn't fit anyone else. It's a midrash. Okay, so so the king really had a crown. The high priest really had a crown. He didn't really have a crown, but he had a gold tzitz. Gold bracelet. It was like a crown. He had tremendous honor. He had honorable clothes. The Gemara says that's what Ahasuerus wore in his party. He wore the same clothes the Kohen Gadol. Can you imagine? They stole the Kohen Gadol's clothes from the Beit HaMikdash. And Ahasuerus wore the clothes at the party. Can you imagine? Think about it. It's hard to imagine. Because it was glorious clothes. And the crown of Torah. There's no real crown. It's not a crown. You don't wear your crown, but it's honor. It's the honor. And Keter Shem Tov, the crown of a good name. Wow, that's the best crown. The only thing we can take with us is the crown of a good name. We can take a crown of a good name. When people talk good about people, that's a crown of a good name. People talk bad about people, it's not a good crown. So the crown of a good name. Everyone needs a good name. So, what's also, there's another Mishnah that says, the Keter Torah Munach Bekeren Zavit. The crown of Torah is placed in the corner. Anyone who wants it can take it. The crown of priesthood is given away. You can't get it. Only if you're a Kohen. How do you become a Kohen? How do I become a Kohen? I marry my daughter off to a Kohen and my grandson will be a Kohen. I can't be a Kohen. How do you become a king? Well, I can't be a king, but I'll marry my daughter off to a tribe of David and hopefully you never know. But the crown of Torah, that's available for me, myself. Anyone can become a crown of Torah. Anyone can study and learn and be learned. All they have to do is make up their mind to set aside time to learn every day. And that's a very important thing. And then there's another fourth crown, which also, but it's very hard to get. You have to behave very nicely to other people. It's the crown of a good name, and it's not something you can manufacture. It's not something you can do to win a popularity contest. It's something which people have to like the person and give the person a good reputation. It says Hashem pays attention to what people are saying about a person. In the judgment of the person, Hashem pays attention to what other people are saying. People think this person is a good person. Hashem takes that into account. It's like you go to court today, there's a court case, and then they bring letters from people who know the person. He's a good test to his character. Hashem also pays attention to how people, other people, attest to this person's character.
So the Keter Shem Tov is just like the Keter Torah. Anybody can get it.
Yes. And not just that, but it's more important than Keter Torah. A person has a Keter Torah, but he has no Shem Tov. It's worthless. He's a Shem Tov and the Torah. He's all a priest with not a good reputation. It's no good. You're a politician. I said a joke yesterday. It's a very funny joke, so I want to tell you the joke. And there's three people hiking through India. Who are these three people? One was a rabbi, one was an Indian priest, and one was a politician. And they're hiking through India. And they're right now in the middle of the desert, and there's no place to stay for the night. And they finally see a farmhouse. And they knock on the door. Can you put us up for the night, please? Please put up for the night. So the farmer opens the door. He says, okay, but I only have two beds. One of you will have to stay in the barn. Okay, so the Indian says, okay, I'm used to sleeping on the floor. I'll stay in the barn. So he goes into the barn. 5 minutes later, they knock on the door. Indian guy comes back. He says, I can't stay in the barn. He says, why? There's a holy cow in the barn. I can't sleep with a holy cow. So Rabbi says, okay, I'll stay in the barn. So Rabbi goes in the barn. 5 minutes later, they knock on the door. He says, what is the matter? He says, Rabbi, he says, oh, I can't sleep in the barn. He says, why? There's a pig in the barn. I can't sleep with a pig in the barn. So the politician says, okay, I'll sleep in the barn. So the politician goes to the barn. 5 minutes later, they knock on the door. It's the pig and the cow. They say, we can't sleep with the politician in the barn. So it's Keter Shem Tov. It's the crown of a good name. They're politicians, all liars and cheats. And you can't trust anyone. You can't trust them. This guy, Sanders, he's a preacher about communism, socialism. He's a rich man. He's a multimillionaire, this guy. And he's preaching about socialism and give everybody... Blah, 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 blah. He drives everywhere on a jet, his own jet plane. People have to wake up. How come people went to support him? Because he wants to give everyone money. Where's the money going to come from? Steal from the rich and give to the poor. So it's interesting how people are misled. People are misled very easily, but that's what we're saying about here. Keter Shem Tov. So you have these politicians who are crooks and murderers, whatever. I'm saying murderers, but they're crooks. And they don't have a good reputation. And there's still people foolish enough to vote for them. It's very hard. It's very, very hard to have a good name. Especially involved in public life, because people don't like you, they give you a bad name, bad reputation. So it's very important to try and keep your name clean. You have a near clean reputation. All right. Stay out of politics. Very good. Okay. Now we come to a very famous, I'm going to skip around a bit. And this is a very famous Mishnah over here. Rav Matya ben Harash. We're in Tetvav. Rav Matya ben Harash says. Rav Matya, the son of Harash, says. Heve makdim b'shalom kol adam. Always be the first one to greet someone. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's the chief rabbi, when he walked through the marketplace, he was the first one to greet everyone. Doesn't matter who it was, Jew, non-Jew, it doesn't make a difference. He would always be the first one. How you doing? Today it's very strange, because if you do that today, people think you're crazy. You walk down the street, hi, how you doing? I know someone who does it, though. He's a very polite gentleman, he's a real gentleman. But that's how they used to be. But that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to go around greeting people in the street. Why? Because we all have created in the image of God. Every single human being is created in the image of God. And therefore he says, always greet, be the first one to greet someone. So, you know, people walk down the street and look from the corner of their eye, they see someone, and they say, if he waves to me, I'll wave to him. If he doesn't wave to me, I'm not going to wave to him. He says, no, be the first one to greet. Always wave, say hi. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. It's a very big test. It's very important. Yes. Also, I'm saying in terms of Derech Eretz.
I'm saying some places, like a woman isn't supposed to greet a man like
a You're right. You're right. Obviously. A person could use the common sense. When I was in yeshiva, the rabbi comes in, he says, you know, there's a fifth volume of the Shulchan Aruch. I said, what? Fifth volume? There's only four. The fifth volume is called common sense. It's the volume of common sense. A person could use the common sense. And that's why Hashem gave us brains, Baruch Hashem. Give us brains to use our common sense. So even though the halakha is like this, halakha is like that, we got to know where does this apply, where does that apply. You guys are going to use their common sense. Ve'ezanav la'ariyot, and be the tail of the lion. Valti rosh l'shualim, and don't be the head of the fox. Because if you have two groups, and you can be the bottom of one group, which is a good group, be the bottom of the other group. Don't be the top of the group, which is a bad group. So this is a very important idea in terms of socializing. What was it to be? Social climbers. I want to be the top. I want to be the top. No use being the top of something bad. Be the head. Be the bottom of something good.
The
lion and the fox. Lion and the fox. So be the tail of the lion and don't be the head of the fox. This is interesting because on Rosh Hashanah we say, Sheniyeh l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. We should be the head and not the tail. But obviously we're talking about the head of the lion, not the tail of the fox. Yeah. So when we say we want to be the head, we shouldn't be the head of the fox. We want to be the head of the head of the lion. But if you can't be the head of the lion, you need to be the tail of the lion. Don't be the head of the fox. Rabbi Yaakov, man. Okay, now this is the last. I'm going to focus on this Mishnah. Rabbi Yaakov says, Ha'olam hazeh domeh leprozdor. This world is like a corridor. Oh boy. It's a very long corridor, right? Depends how long you live. Some people a short corridor, some people a long corridor. It's a corridor. We don't really realize this. The world is a corridor. What a way, what a perspective on life. This is Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says this world is a corridor. What a tremendous perspective of life. It's very hard to imagine this. Because most people think this world is the world. That's all there is. Most people think, you know, I'm here in this world. I'm going to enjoy as much as I can, and that's it. Goodbye. That's it. Heck with everything else. That's it. I'm just here for enjoyment. I'm here to make money. I'm here to enjoy. I'm here for vacations. I'm here for this. I'm here for that. That's it. No, he says, this is not the main world. This is just the preparation for the next world. It's a very, very Jewish concept. A very revolutionary concept. And there's a big difference. Other religions took it from us. Christianity took it from us. Islam took it from us. There's a very big difference between the two. And that is, this world is also here to be fixed. We have a mission for this world as well. It's not just like, a person says, you know, I'm going to die in this world, kill people, and go to the next world and get my 70 virgins, and that's it. No. You have to make this world a better place as well. Yetaken olam malchut shaddai. We have to fix this world under the kingship of God. That's also the purpose. And then you get to the next world. So this world is a corridor. We have to realize this. Very hard. Person says, you know what? I'm worried about my kitchen. I'm worried about my room. I'm worried about my bedroom. My this. I got it. But you're just here for how long? My mother used to say when I used to go visit her, I said, Ma, you need some more new pots and pans. They're all old. She said, where am I going to take it? What am I going to do with it? I will have no use for it soon. Oh boy. That's how we should be thinking. This world is temporary. Person thinks, no, I'm going to build this, I'm going to build that, I'm going to build that. You know, the famous story of Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is fundraising. You know how hard it is to fundraise? It's very hard. Okay, I'll tell you a story first. First, the story, two stories. Okay, Chafetz Chaim is fundraising for the poor people in town. He gives a shiur in the big shul in the town, and he starts talking and talking and talking, and he gives an hour drasha about the need to give tzedakah. He goes home, and his wife says, no, how successful was it? He says, 50%. So what are you, 50% successful? He says, yeah. The poor people agreed to take. 50% success. So now he goes to fundraise. Where does he go? In Moscow. Moscow is where the rich Jews live in Moscow in those days. I don't know. He went to Moscow. And he's a very, very rich guy. Very rich guy. And he asks for money for his yeshiva. And the rich guy says, listen, he says, even God cannot get rid of my money. Why? I'm so diversified. I have money in this country, I have money in this country, I have money in this currency, I have money in this currency. Even God can't take my money away from me. So Chafetz Chaim said something amazing. He said,
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
He says, even God cannot take my money away from me. Because it's diversified all over. The money is here, money is there, money is there. It's invested in stocks, invested in bonds, invested in gold, invested in silver, and oil, and everything. So Chafetz Chaim said something very, very important. He says, God doesn't need to take your money away from you. God needs to take you away from your money. And that's what we're saying in this Mishnah. This Mishnah is, this world is just a corridor. People think, I'm here permanently. I'm going to invest, build this, build that. And eventually what happens is, it's a corridor. The corridor comes to an end. And it's like if you've traveled to New York, you'll see you go through this big tunnel. Mm-hmm. That's the corridor. Think about it. That corridor is life. You're passing through the tunnel. Come on the other side, whole new world. New York City, oh boy. A whole new world out there. That's where we're going. We're going to a whole new world. No, we're not going to New York City. No, we're going to hopefully a better place. Olam Haba, we're going to Olam Haba, a different world. So this world is a corridor. A person should make sure they invest in the right things in the corridor. And that's what he tells us. So it's like a vestibule. People translate this different things. You go to a wedding, right? You go to the wedding. Where's the wedding? Wedding's in the big hall. Okay, but outside is a lobby over there. So this world is a lobby. And think about it. This world is like a lobby area. What do you do in the lobby area? There's mirrors over there. You check your tie. A man checks his tie. A woman, I don't know if she checks, but she checks other things. And that's where you get ready to go into the big hall. Because that's your big presentation. You have to go in there. And people are going to greet you. They're going to see you. So this world is just the corridor. It's just the lobby area. Before the next world, which is massive. The next world is unlimited. The next world has no bounds. The next world is the world of God. The spiritual world. Hadken atzmecha beprufto. Make sure you prepare yourself in the corridor. Kedei shidikanes l'traktei. In order to go into the next world. So it's very, very important. Amazing. This is amazing insight. Hard to imagine. This world is just a corridor. You can see it's universe. Whole universe. There's trillions, 10 to the 23 stars in the world. It's amazing. How do you even visualize this? This world is just a small little area. Can you imagine? They sent Israelis try to send a spaceship to the moon. So anyone else takes a plane to the moon, okay, you just pay your money and it goes to the moon. It gets there within 12 hours. You know, the space, there was Apollo, was it 13, 11? Which one landed on the moon? Really, guys. Armstrong and what's his name? And Aldrin.
Neil Armstrong.
I remember I was a kid watching it on black and white TV. I remember that.
Right, I watched it.
I was in England watching it at 7 a.m. It was 7 a.m. in the morning. We woke up early, especially to see the man land on the moon. And here the Israelis sending a rocket to the moon. Guess how long it's going to take them?
2 months.
7 weeks. Americans send a rocket to the moon. It gets there in 12 hours. The Israelis send a rocket to the moon. It takes it 7 weeks. What's going on over here? And the answer is they don't want to pay for the fuel. They don't want to pay for the fuel. It won't be cheap. $100 million. So it has to go round and round and round till it builds up enough speed, gets away from the Earth, as attracted by moon gravity.
Right.
But think about the miles involved, how many thousands and thousands of miles away.
It's not a man's spaceship either, it's
the size of a washing machine. The Israeli space rocket is the size of a washing machine.
What's it supposed to accomplish?
Nothing. It's supposed to accomplish that we're on the moon. We got there. We landed, and it's going to give you a little bit of magnetics. I don't know what it's doing. Measuring something about magnetic.
It's
just a sign that we can do it. We have the technology to go there.
Right.
There's no machinery for feedback.
There's feedback. That's it. You get feedback. I don't know what feedback. How long it lasts? So Rabbi Yaakov says, this world is just a corridor. Everyone, let's repeat it to ourselves. We have to repeat it. We have to keep repeating this, you know. We forget this. This is something we forget every day. We wake up every morning. I'm here in a corridor. I'm in a corridor? Where am I going? Your main destination, Olam Haba. Person shouldn't forget, what's the destination? What are we trying to achieve? We're trying to maximize our good deeds in this world. We're trying to maximize our Torah in this world. We're trying to maximize our chesed in this world so that we can go to the next dimension. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you there. Bezrat Hashem. No rush. There's no rush. Take your time, enjoy, and do as much good as you
can.
To be continued. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.